Welcome to episode 38 of the Mile 62 podcast. I'm your host, Richard Elkins, coming to you from Austin, Texas. This podcast, we're going to talk about a Rocky Raccoon 100 miler. Give you my race report and what I thought about the race and how it went for me. This is actually the second time I've run this race. I ran the race a couple years ago and I made it through the 100K mark, so it was a DNF. It's actually one of my few DNFs in my trail running history. So I really wanted to go back. I wasn't able to go back in the last 2 years due to some time conflicts. But was able to go back this year and was well prepared for it. I'd been doing a lot of strength training and really look forward to going out there. Also, my brother and his wife were racing as well. But this is how it went down. I planned on just driving out there before the race. I did that in Bandera because of the pandemic, and I don't really like to stay in hotels, and it's pretty cold, so I really don't like staying in my tent. And I've learned some things during the pandemic to improve my life and racing and also in work. But one of the things I learned in racing is I found that just getting up extra early and going out to the race instead of staying the night before is working much better for me, because my habit is to get up, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning anyways every day. So to get up a few hours earlier is not a real big deal. So what I did was I went to sleep I guess about 6 o'clock, pretty early on a Friday. Got up at 1:30, and then I left about 2:30 in the morning from Austin, and it's exactly a 3-hour drive, almost the same distance as it is to drive to Bandera. And things went well, you know, got jacked up on coffee and listened to Spotify the whole way out there. So by the time I got out there, it was about 5:30 in the morning, I was feeling pretty good. And, excuse me, I had packed up all my stuff, and I've gotten really clever about getting my packs ready and even setting aside the things that I need to put on once I get there. I don't put on my race shoes until I get there, so I put on my gaiters and my Olympus 4s when I get there so my feet don't get sweaty. But other than that, I'm ready to go. I mean, my pack's loaded, everything. So by the time I got there and got situated and put my stuff on, I think I got out to the starting line where to check in and get my bib and my tracking device. It was probably about 10 to 6. And the elites were going to take off at 6 o'clock. And my time slot was 6:30 to 7. But what I learned in Bandera, and this is a good pointer for everyone out there, is with the Tejas Trail races, they're very flexible. So you may have a time slot, but if there's nobody going, they don't mind that you go early. So, and that's what I did in Bandera, and that's what I did here at Rocky Raccoon. So they said, you know, elites are leaving at 6. You can here's your bib, but you can get your tracking device at 6 o'clock. So I was there probably just a few minutes after 6 and got my tracking device, put it on, and there was nobody going. So I took off. So I actually started, I think, around 6:08. And this is a big deal because you get more time for the cutoff, because the cutoff was 2 o'clock on Sunday. So the way it worked is I probably got an extra hour and 45 minutes if I needed it. So that's great, you know. So I got started and it was dark. And I think I ran about a little more than an hour in the dark. Felt good. It was nice and cool, but it wasn't too cold. And I decided to use my hydration pack the whole race. Before the race, a few days before, I thought I was going to use a waist belt or two handheld bottles for the first half of the race, because the pack, just if I'm 20 plus hours in a race with a hydration pack, it just wears on my back. and this causes me some issues. But I decided just to use the hydration pack. I just didn't have enough experience with the waist belt, and it was pretty cold. Maybe too many excuses. I should have tried it, and I'll get back to that later in the race recap. But I used the hydration pack, and the first lap went really well. I mean, I blazed through in about 4 hours, and you know, it's 5 20-mile loops, and they've changed the course a little bit because of COVID, so there's not so many out and backs where you're crossing traffic, but there still were quite a few. But instead of being five loops of 20 miles. So the first loop went pretty non-eventful, came through pretty good. Every loop I was, something I started in Bandera, I have 5 bottles of Gatorade Fierce. It's a very strong version of Gatorade. And I slam 1 bottle at the beginning of every loop. And I think that helped me a lot. During the race, I was drinking water and Tailwind that, you know, the aid stations provided. Tailwind's a good product, but it just tastes terrible. It tastes like penicillin to me. It's one of the few hydration drinks out of there, of all of the hydration drinks, that I don't like. Most of them I don't mind at all. But actually, my favorite is Gatorade. I like all the different Gatorade drinks. I missed the time. I think at Javelina 100, they had Gatorade as one type of product. And sometimes Tejas Trails has it. But I just like, you know, it may not be the most expensive one out there, but I think Gatorade works very well. Because I also use it in my training, so I think that's part of it. But Gatorade Fierce is one of the strongest Gatorade drinks. It's got a lot more sugar and sodium and everything. I was forcing myself to drink 1 bottle at the beginning. You know, I would take it with me and jog, and over the first few miles of every loop, I would drink that. And that really helped me. And this race, I was also using Goo Chews. I use those. Sometimes I use Cliff Blocks, whatever I can get. But the Goo Chews work really well. And, you know, each Goo Chew is kind of like having 2 gels. And I prefer chews over gels because, to be honest, they clog up your system. And if you're using chews, it's something I learned from studying some of the Yukon Ultras, the very cold ultras up north and in Canada. Those guys always use gummy bears or chews. And the reason they do is, you know, last thing you want to do when it's minus 20, 30, under zero, is to have to go to the toilet. Well, if you're eating chews or gummy bears and stuff like that, it really clogs up your system. You're not going to have that problem. And it works well. I do it in just normal ultras, so I don't have any stomach problems during races when I use Goo Chews. And I get a couple different flavors. I like the orange and the watermelon the best, but I think all of them are pretty good. If you don't know where to find them, you can order them online. I get them from REI. They'll actually ship them to your house. And if you buy more than 5 at a time, they'll give you a discount. So I highly recommend them. Goo Chews or even Cliff Blocks. They work about the same. But anyways, going into loop 2, felt pretty good. The second loop took me about an hour longer. And I was able to, the first and second loop, keep a pretty decent pace where I never had to hike, and felt pretty good. Continued just to use the chews and drinks. I didn't eat any real food yet. Then going into loop 3, I started to pick up some sandwiches and I say sandwiches, like peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and then I was still eating some Goo Chews and trying to find some real food here and there. Usually what I'd like to do is going into the nighttime, the second half of the third loop, it started to get dark. Going into the nighttime, I usually like to try to eat real food, and I was able to do that. And I felt pretty good in going through the third loop. I did have a really bad fall. It wasn't because it was dark. I just tripped on a root, and you know how it goes as the race goes and goes long, you know, you start to get tired, and what happens is the when you pick up your feet, the clearance is not what it used to be, you know, wasn't early in the race. And this race has a lot of tree roots, and it also has a lot of tree stubs. And I actually caught a tree root that was laying on the ground. And I flew to the side, and I really landed pretty hard on my left side. I didn't hurt myself, but it kind of scared me a little bit. And I got up, dusted myself off, and kept going. Felt pretty good through the rest of the third loop. And going into the fourth loop, I did change my shirt because it was getting a little bit colder. And this race, I was using all ExoSkin products. I really liked their shorts. I was using their extra long short that goes past the knee, and I was using their shirt where the sleeves go past the elbow. They work really well and prevent chafing and keep me warm. That worked really well for me. I didn't have to change my shoes at all. I did bring some Ultra RSMs, which are the all-weather Ultras, just in case we got rain or snow or anything like that. I didn't have to change into them, so I was real happy about that. There were a few mud pockets on the course, but I was able to go around them. Loop four started to get a little bit cold. I started to slow down some more, and the first three loops took me about 15 hours, and the last two loops took me about almost the same time. And the reason was about halfway through the fourth loop, I really started to get lower back pain. This has happened to me before a few years ago at Javelina 100, the first time I did it, and I think it's because of my running style where I lean forward. I maybe lean forward too much, and when I've got the hydration pack on, which is weighted, it exaggerates the leaning forward, and I think it's causing me some issues. So that's why I talked about earlier where I planned, you know, early in the ultra running, I used to just use two bottles, and that worked really well for me up to 50K, you know, sometimes even 100K. And I planned to switch back. I'd actually bought four new bottles from Ultra Aspire. And I planned to, in my next race, which is 100K, I planned to use the first half of the race or maybe even the whole race bottles. And then at night, I'll switch to my hydration pack. And I kind of wish I would have done it at Rocky Raccoon, because I could have probably hit a PR, because I was really moving the first three laps, and the wheels came off around, I guess it was around mile 70. Well, I was able to grind through it, and going in, finished up the fourth loop, and was able to drink some more Gatorade and eat a protein bar that I had. And they had a little bits of pizza at the aid station at the starting line, and I was just trying to get it more real food, and it just got really cold, and the temperature was in the low 30s, same as Bandera, but in Bandera I was able to use just a long sleeve shirt because I kept moving, and I didn't get that cold. But I think because Rocky Raccoon, which is in Huntsville, Texas, it's not too far from the Gulf Coast, the humidity level was much higher. So temperature was the same, but it felt much colder, and it was very windy. And they have a lake there at the park. So the wind, the lake effect, the wind coming off the lake. I started that fifth loop. It was probably around 1 or 2 in the morning. And I was probably a mile and a half into the loop, and I really started thinking, did I wear enough clothes? Should I go back and get my big hat that would keep me much warmer? And I decided not to do that. I mean, I was blowing out smoke, you know, it was so cold, you know, I could tell. And I just didn't want to add any more miles, so I just pushed on and started grinding it out. And the weirdest thing happened, a guy passed me and he was, you know, we were all wearing buffs because in the race, if you come up to an aid station or you're around other people, you should pull up your buff to, you know, protect yourself from, you know, pandemic. And I never thought of using the buff to keep me warm. You know, it's strange. You know, actually, that's what it's designed for. I was just using it to, you know, protect myself when I was around other people. But a guy passed me, and he had the buff covering his ears and mouth and nose. And I said, man, I bet that's keeping him warm doing that. And I tried it, and sure enough, made me much warmer doing that. But I highly recommend, you know, if you're running at night with your buff, you know, use it to cover your ears and nose and stuff if you're in a situation where you get a little cold. And maybe it's common sense to others, but I guess I really didn't know how to use a buff correctly, but I do now. It really helped a lot. I pushed through that fifth lap, and the early morning hours, I really didn't feel too well. My lower back was hurting. One of the aid stations had lentil soup. I've never tried lentil soup, but it sure tasted good at the time. I think I had two or three cups of that stuff, and maybe some ramen soup later at another aid station, and I felt much better. But as the sun came up, and I was pushing through the last 10 miles of the race, my back was hurting really bad. I had one of my Black Diamond hiking poles that I always carry with me on my pack. I took it off and I kind of used it as you know, like a regular pole. I didn't have both of my poles, but I was using it because my back was hurting. So I pretty much had to slow hike the last 10 miles, but I was able to finish the race. I was pretty happy. And I was able to do it under the cutoff, so it does count as a Western States qualifier. And then I've also checked off the box that I finished Rocky Raccoon. You know, it's one of my few DNFs in the past. And so I'm glad I finished the race. You know, my plan in the future is to do more new races, not repeat so many of the same races. And I don't think I'll do Rocky Raccoon again. I've done it twice and enjoyed it. But I'll looking out there in the January, February to do some different type of races. I usually do Bandera in January, but in February I've missed some other races because of Rocky Raccoon. So I'll try some other ones out there. But I was happy that I finished the race, and my back, you know, it's 4 days out now. My lower back still hurts some, but the rest of me is recovered, and looking forward to getting back into some serious training. Right now we have ice storms in Austin, and so it's not much running can be done outside. But I'm spending time in my gym. Some good news, I've been on the waiting list for a Concept 2 Ski RG for several months, and I was finally queued up to buy one. I bought one and it arrived a few days ago. So this weekend I'm going to put the Ski RG, which is basically a Nordic skier system, in my garage gym. I'm pretty excited about that because, you know, it's kind of it in the cross country type skiing, Nordic skiing. It works your whole body out, and it will help me build up more core and upper body strength in addition to my weight training that I've been doing the last few months. I've also got some more weights that came in the last few weeks. So I really changed it up probably since November. I've been doing a lot of weight training, and I think that's helped my running. I knocked 2 hours off of my 100K time in January, and I think I would have knocked some time off of my 100-mile time if I didn't have lower back problems. So I'm happy where I'm at. I've also made the decision that I think I'm about 195 pounds. I'm not going to do any more 100-mile events unless I'm probably under 185. I think I'm too heavy for the 100-mile event, and I think that's what's causing me some issues with my back. Kind of my sweet spot is 100K. I do those a lot, and I do fine on that. But the 100-mile is just it's just a different animal, and, you know, I think the weight makes a big difference. You know, the guy that won the race was probably 120 pounds. You know, you can do a lot of things when you're not carrying so much weight. And if you're out there, you know, 25 plus hours and you're carrying extra weight, it makes it even more challenging. But kind of set a limit for myself, no more than 185 pounds if you want to run a 100 miler. Well, I'm signed up for a 100 miler in August, Habanero. I've done that race many times, but never the 100 mile distance. I've done Jalapeno, which is the same course, 100 miler, last November. And it was really tough. And I know that being 10 pounds lighter will help me in that event. So my plan is to be much stronger, 185 pounds before I do the next 100 miler, which is in August. And if I'm not, I'll drop down to the 100K. I'm not gonna risk it. And then I'm signed up for the Brazos Bend 100 miler as well in December. But the rest of the year, I'm planning to do many 100Ks. And then also during the summer, I want to do the Captain Carl series. So I plan to race every month, but most of the time it will be 100K or less. And it looks like my next event, in 1 week there's the Jackalope Jam, but I'm not signed up for it, and my lower back has been hurting me. I wanted to do the ruck race, and I'd carry my 20-pound ruck. I won that race last year, but I'm not sure I would join it this year. And also with the pandemic, that 1.5-mile course, I think it's probably too short. So I think there's a small chance that I'll join that race. But for sure in March, I will join the J&J 100K. That's take place out at Camp Eagle, which is near Kerrville. I've done that race many times. And I really like the venue. It's very safe. It's really outside the city, very far, a couple hours. And that one's put on by Taos Trails. They do a good job. So that's kind of what my sights are on right now. The next race is the J&J 100K. So stay tuned about that. What else is going on? Some of you... Oh, related to my ski ERG, one of the other reasons that I bought it is I've really gotten interested in Spartan racing, and I don't plan to do any Spartan racing until maybe next year. I like to do the Beast, which is the long event, but I don't have the upper body strength to do some of the obstacles, you know, the monkey bars and all that stuff, pull-ups and all that stuff. I don't have the strength yet. I'm working on it. That's going to take at least a year. But there's a new type of racing called Hyrox. That's Hyrox. And that's a German company. It's real big in Europe. And they've had a few events here in the U.S. And it's starting to really take off. But that is more my better match for me in the short term. So maybe later this year or even early next year, I'd like to do one of those races. They had one planned for Dallas, but it got canceled. But they have their race is like... Ski ERG, running, rowing, weighted ball throw, pushing a weighted sled. There's not really any obstacles where you have to climb with your arms. So I'm real excited about that type of event. So I plan to do some of those in the future. But that was another reason I got the Ski ERG machine. For myself, but I also got it for my wife, and I think she would like using it for a workout. Because, you know, in Europe, a lot of the professional racers during the off season, they're doing ski-mo and Nordic skiing. It's really an incredible workout, and it really complements running. So at least that's my idea. So let's see, I'll let you know how that progresses. What else is going on? Social media. I've made some big changes on social media. Some of you probably already know. I deleted my Twitter account. I know there's a lot of runners on Twitter, but it's just not working for me, and I just didn't have the time. So my idea is I want to focus on a few and do a better job instead of trying to be on everything. Facebook. I'm still on Facebook. Occasionally we'll post on there, but I'm mostly on Facebook for the groups. So the ambassador groups, the race director groups, they're all on Facebook. And if you want to be part of them, you need to be on Facebook. So if you don't see many posts from me on Facebook, that's why. I'm just on Facebook. I just use the groups. But my main focus going forward is Instagram and Strava. I've always been a big user of Strava. And people who follow me on Strava know that I use it a little bit differently than others. I, of course, post all my workouts, but I also post, you know, funny pictures, cartoons, and try to communicate with my friends on Strava. I think it's an underused app out there, and I enjoy using it. So I have a lot of followers on Strava, and I continue to add them on Strava. But outside of Strava, my main focus is going to be Instagram. Instagram seems for me to be easier to find other runners to communicate with. I know a lot of people use Twitter, but for me, Instagram seems to be better. And so I'm focusing on Instagram. So I use, and so Instagram and Strava is the best place to connect with me. On Instagram, I'm at runner, R-W-E. Easy to find me. Same thing on Strava. You can find me that way too, at runner, R-W-E. If you want to send me an email, it's just runnerrwe@gmail.com. And so it's easy. It's just kind of my name, for easy name for everyone to remember. Or you can just remember Mile 62. So Mile 62 is noted on Instagram, Strava. It's my podcast name, as you know. So those two things that people know me by. Sometimes they know me by those instead of my, you know, my name. So, what else? Excited to say that I'm now on the Exoskin ambassador team. I really like their products. I've been using them for a couple, probably over a year. I use their socks, their different types of shorts, different lengths of shorts, different thicknesses. I use their shirts. Really good product. I can't say enough about them. If you're interested in trying their products, you go to their websites, exoskin.us, and you can get a discount if you put in Mile 62 when you check out. My other sponsors is Squirrel's Nut Butter, which I use for all my chafing needs, or anti-chafing needs, I should say. Great stuff, you know. As some famous runners always say, lube your junk. It's pretty important. Ultra Spire, all my hydration and lighting requirements, I use Ultra Spire. Great people, great company. Used their lighting products for many years, and then once I became one of their ambassadors, I was trying their hydration products and got hooked. So use their products for hydration and lighting. What else? Last thing I want to talk about is this weekend. You know, Black Canyon in Arizona is coming up, another golden ticket race. Black Canyon is put on by Aria Vipa. It's a big event of theirs, just like Javelina 100. And there's a lot of big pros in that event. Late jump in was Jim Walmsley, so he's definitely the favorite. But in Black Canyon, you've got Jim Walmsley, Tyler Green, Eric Sensman, from great guy. So you got two Coconino Cowboys, and you got some other guys coming in from California, Oregon, Colorado. It should be a really good race. But I'm hoping for Jim and Eric to win one and two and get the golden tickets. But I think they will be challenged by Tyler Green. Boy, he's an incredible runner. Runs for I think he's running for Nike now. But what else? That's about it. I wish everyone luck in that's running Black Canyon this weekend, and also Rocky Raccoon 50 is going on this weekend, and it's probably going to be raining and snow and pretty cold, so they're going to have a much tougher time than I did last weekend. But I would like everyone to enjoy their weekend, and wish you the best in your running endeavors. And if you have any feedback or comments, or like to talk with me about something running related on the podcast, just send me an email. It's runnerrwe@gmail.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.